Hey guys, and welcome back to the second episode of the Thumbs Up Cast. I'm Joseph, not named Rivera yet, and today I have with me the amazing, wonderful, perfect, indubitably great Rhodes and Roman.
You can. I don't think we deserve that many adjectives. True.
Maybe
not. We deserve some freaking verbs. Flying through the eye, Thunderpick Rhodes.
How was your guys' day today?
I got locked out of my car.
It was one of those days, man. Nothing exciting on my part. I mean, just stayed home all day. Went to church. Today's Sunday night.
Today's God's Day.
The Lord's Day.
Yeah. The Lord's Day.
I wish I had gone to wake up.
Didn't wake up at all?
No, I did. I woke up in time, but like the thing where you just stare at the wall and do your best to not think about your life.
Did it work?
It did.
Yeah, okay. That's
good. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Today's topic.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys a question.
That's a news alert. We don't want to talk about our days. All right, there's nothing exciting. So let's get on with what we're talking about today. Is about
video
game. I did have a question.
Yes, what's your question?
I did have a question for you guys. So I recently, maybe not super recently, but I did watch the new Tomb Raider movie.
Ooh, okay. Awesome, yeah.
Based on Alicia the amazing Vikander. Game Tomb Raider.
Hello,
with the amazing actress that I don't know her name.
Alicia Vikander, man. Walton Goggins. That has to be a good movie. I haven't seen it yet. Was it any good?
It was good. Better than Mortal Kombat.
Was it better than the
Blasphemy?
Other
But I was going to ask you guys, because there's, of course, the whole thing with, you know, turning games into movies. Is it possible to do that?
It's possible to do it. It's not possible to do it well.
It's possible to do it well.
Do you think?
I mean, look at the best. Best example here.
Resident Evil is not going to, not one of them.
No. Resident Evil's okay.
I count every medieval movie as a movie version of chess.
Yes.
They're all pretty good translations. I like the twist here. I don't remember this in the game, but I like it. And it's like, oh yeah, yeah. I remember whenever I took that rook with my knight, and I was like, yeah, it's just like the scene.
Well,
I'm reliving it.
There's a difference, because chess is a board game. I think we're talking about video games. Clue is one of the best movies ever made.
I haven't seen it.
Hilarious.
So you haven't seen Clue?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Clue is like an outlier. It's based on the board game Clue. It's one of the funniest movies you're ever going to see. You have to see it. Anybody out there who hasn't seen that movie, go out and watch it. It's a hell of a good time.
Clue the movie?
Clue the movie. Clue? I think it's just Clue.
Clue the movie.
With Tim Curry, a.k.a. Pennywise, the dancing clown.
Ooh.
From the Stephen King It miniseries on TV.
Butler.
He's the butler. And it has a whole cast of, like, kind of those B, like the side characters in comedy movies. Yeah.
They all became huge later. Kelsey Grammer's in there as Mr. Mustard or something.
Oh, Kelsey Grammer, that's right. Mm. I know Madeline Kahn is in there, I believe. Mm. And you got other actors who were in a lot of great comedy movies, but not like the stars to make up a wonderful cast. It is a hilarious movie. If you just want to have a good time and watch a movie, find that movie.
Have you played the board game?
I played the board game.
I've never played it either.
It's confusing.
It is a little confusing. Just watch the, that's the one thing. It's like, watch the movie, don't play the game.
Watch the movie, don't play it. That's the only time it's actually...
Remember my favorite scene. I am a singing telegram. But she was unrelated. No. She was my patient. We'd been having an affair.
Sounds funny.
It's hilarious.
And it all happened. All those words happened within that time frame. It was just like instant, like joke after joke after joke. All right,
The fun thing, if you don't mind me adding, is that because the board game, you know, has different endings. The whole thing of the board game is you're trying to find out who killed. There's a person named Mr. Body that's dead, and the whole thing of the game is you're trying to find out who killed him, in which room of the mansion did they kill him, and with what weapon did they kill him.
Okay.
I think theatrically, there's different endings to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Theatrically, it was depending on which theater you were in, you would get a different ending.
What?
And on DVD, it shows all the endings. I go show, they'll show an ending and it says, "Well, that's not what happened. This is, you know, what if it happened like this?" And they'll show all the alternate endings. There's like four or five, and at the end it says, "No, this is how it really happened," and it has like a definitive ending. But it's just an interesting way to end a movie.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
it makes me want to watch it.
Keep in mind, this was made. It's based on VHS.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's like, why did it come with five extra tapes?
I was gonna say bonus features for just an extra VHS.
Well, video game movies. Yeah, going back to, I think there were some real good ones, and the best ones are
There's never been any good ones.
The thing is, they are usually not promoted as the. They're not called like the name of the game, the movie.
You're not talking about the Uwe Boll movies and all those.
No, man. Video game about, like, The Last Starfighter.
That wasn't based on a video game.
It was based on an arcade game. No, Tron.
Tron wasn't based on the game. The games came after the movies.
I don't care.
I did like Tron, though.
It still fits into the theme.
Yes.
Video game inspired. All right, so ones. When that the case, if that's the case, then none of them are true, because almost every video game movie was inspired by a different movie that they took the script from and changed it just enough to fit into the theme. They started making a movie that, like, Super Mario Bros. They started making a different movie. And then, like, some other guys, he wanted to make, like, an alternative punk future kind of thing happen. And they're like, no, we have to turn this into Mario the movie.
They with the Mario movie, they were trying to make a Mario movie. They had gone through a lot of different scripts. When they hired the directors who eventually directed the movie, they had a whole different idea.
That's my
point. Off.
Yeah, it's like, there's never really been. We're only just now starting to see, with the exception, there's some scattered exceptions. Mortal Kombat being one.
Mortal Kombat is like the gold of, like,
of a direct from the video game to the movie. And it was solid because the soundtrack from the game.
Oh yeah,
solid.
It was really good.
It was directly from the movie. It was made because
the
movie
overall was pretty fucking weak and horrible.
It was, but it was so fun
because
that bicycle kick though, that was amazing.
And that Scorpion pulling off his face for a fatality explosion, head getting cut in half. It's great stuff. And most, I think a lot of the video game movies are fun, but very few of them are would be considered thematically, theatrically good. Which ones have you seen that where you're like, this is not fun?
I've seen most of the Resident Evil movies.
Ewing Balls.
And
that one was fun. The House of 1000. Was it them? No, it was 1000. No. Dead Island or something. I know they were on an island, and I got to see, like, Lois Lane from the Smallville series, topless. It was fantastic. It was like,
that
yeah.
was your fun, huh?
That was
fun.
And then, like, overdone Matrix shots, like bullet times, where it wasn't really bullet time. He clearly just, like, did a handheld or put it on a track and spun it around a camera and told him, just stay very still and shoot the gun.
Wasn't there a Hitman movie recently, too? That was really
There was
bad.
Another recent one.
Was there two? Or one?
There's been two Hitman movies.
Yeah. I liked them.
They're both unrelated. They're not, like, they were, sequels yeah. or anything.
Which made it pretty good. And that's because they even did, like, terrible things. Like, use footage from different... Like, that's actually the thing in a lot of movies, too, where they... Not even just using the same props, but straight up use the same with clips from other places. They used clips from a show called Dark Angel. Mm-hmm. And the main character was supposed
to
be... And it was, like, his character would... That was, like, shoot, that was a female. Your
they just recycled
and they had
footage.
A barcode in a different spot. It's like, it was it recycle implies some processing.
That's when that's clever business tactics. Business hacking, yeah.
I enjoyed them. They're good fight scenes, I thought.
Good fight scenes. Well, okay. I mean, are they able to? Do you feel that they're able to work? Roman?
They should be able to. I think it's the whole thing of the.
They got
to
work with. I mean, a lot of the games early on didn't have very much in the way of story, and
yes.
now they are starting to do that. Like, they're cinematic in their own right now. Tomb Raider was basically just the action scenes from Indiana Jones. Mario Brothers was just like, there was no true plot or depth that you could go on, so it didn't have enough to draw you in and compare it to. Resident Evil was the closest to that.
Here's the thing. Recently, there's been two movies that aren't based on video games, but are about video games, and they got it perfect. One is Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes.
The second one is Jumanji 2, Welcome to the Jungle.
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
You haven't seen Jumanji?
Me either.
You haven't seen Jumanji?
Not the new one.
Yeah, not the new
one. About the new one or the old one?
The new one. It is a blast. It's funny, and it's like, it's one of those kind of like for the whole family type of movies where there's some jokes that adults are going to get, other jokes that, you know, the kids really like. That movie is hilarious.
The Rock?
The Rock, Kevin Hart, you got Karen Gillan, you got Jack Black in there. The whole thing is like, if you've seen the first Jumanji movie, if you haven't seen Jumanji 2, first Jumanji was that there was
a
board
game
that comes to life.
That's funny.
In this one, the board game, it gets picked up in 1996, kind of like at the end of the first movie, by this guy. He brings it to his son, but the son's like all into Metallica and Slayer and heavy metalhead into PlayStation games. That's because that was the era that PlayStation was first coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So the board game itself transforms into an old school video game console, like an Atari or Nintendo. So the kid plays it after it's a video game, gets sucked in. So then, fast forward to present day.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a Breakfast Club sequence where, you know, some kids are in detention. They end up finding the game, they play it, they go into the game and become the avatars. And they're in the, like, the world of Jumanji. And it's the world that Robin Williams' character in the first movie, that he got transported to. So it's like this jungle thing. But it messes around with, like, you know, there's players that are non-playable characters, and they'll only respond to certain people or certain questions. Okay. There's levels that they have to follow. There's a map, and like only one, and each character has a different skill. So like Jack Black's character can read maps, so they have a map, but everybody else sees the blank, because Jack Black's character is a cartographer. He can see the stuff and say, "Oh, we have to go this and this."
Oh, that's interesting.
And each of them has their own skills, and they have to basically win the game in order to come back.
So it's not really based on a
But it has a whole bunch of video game tropes. Yeah. So if you're a gamer, you get that. Yeah,
like,
so that's it works really well in that story. And the whole thing about, you know, like
Ready Player One,
I haven't seen. Have you?
I've heard.
But it's made out of movie tropes, which is the same thing as Wreck-It Ralph and Jumanji.
I heard it didn't do so well, though.
Really? I heard
it
didn't.
You could use the tropes, but direct video game translation.
That's what we have to talk about.
There's always been hype around Halo, Gears of War, God of War, becoming live-action movies.
Halo has confirmed it's going to be a TV show.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Really?
Yes.
Right. Drunk Bobby, I don't remember that.
Do you think it's going to be good?
Man, who knows?
See, that's the thing. I think it all depends on what the...
I bet you they're not going to follow the game. They're going to be in that world.
You... That's the thing.
Fair, a lot of movies would follow more. Series, shows tend to be in the world of the awesome stuff happening, not necessarily on the awesome stuff like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
the periphery of all the cool action stuff. And I think it's kind of the intent of the people who are going to make that make the movie, kind of what the, and I know that in the beginning, kind of like with Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat game was very violent.
Yeah.
And I think the movie was aiming towards a little bit younger audience than the people who were playing the game, because it didn't have a lot of the violence and stuff, but it followed it enough that it had the same plot. But it took the liberties it had to take, you know, making a three-act structure for a movie.
Yeah.
Is it possible for them to make a really great video game movie adaptation? Yes. I just think people... Well, see, that's the thing, too. I think gamers have certain sensibilities. And film... cinephiles have certain sensibilities.
Cinephiles.
So, it's kind of hard to... to get, you know, the balance of, you know, even a video game adaptation. And, you know, you I think you see this all the time with novel adaptations into movies or to TV shows. There's going to be people who, like, read the book and say, hey, well, they omitted this, they changed that, or whatever. Film is a very different language than books or video games. So I think it's a challenge.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's all with the intent with the filmmakers. I think most filmmakers... in general, the producers, at least, I think, would go into saying, oh, well, this is a hot property, you know, was that Dead or Alive, that volleyball beach movie?
Oh, my God.
They say, oh, yeah, it's a hot property.
Excellence.
It's a hot property, so we can make a movie and we can make money just because people want to see what it's about.
It was fun.
I haven't seen that one.
It was more fun than the second Street Fighter movie, Story of Chun-Li. As fun as the original Street Fighter, which is like, this is a little terrible, but it's also kind of great. Also, I have a great idea.
What's a great idea?
What's your great
idea? Throw this down. It's World War Un.
Un.
Right? And that's Prime. The one. This guy is going out. He knows that the lives of his friends, the people of his brothers, count on him to save their lives. He has nothing with him but a satchel full of red flags, and he must sweep the fields for mines. Minesweeper, the film.
Warner Brothers, Sony, if you're listening, Universal. I know you want to make that. I know you want to make this movie.
You could turn it into a ride, too. Not a ride, but like an adventure thing. You go through and you step on pretend mines, and it just poofs dust at you. Fantastic.
An F-Zero movie. That would be super cool.
It sounds... this is the thing, too. You would enjoy it, but it's like, everybody else would be like, okay, I wouldn't go to that movie. But...
I mean, I would love to see Captain Falcon. That'd be amazing.
See, that's the thing, though.
Everybody wants to see their person that they enjoyed playing.
That's true.
But they never enjoy it.
Here's the bottom line. I think that if you hear that a video game that you love is going to be made into a movie, you're going to want to go see it, but you're going to want to see what made the video game work for you.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of moviegoers out there who you have to craft the movie in order to get also that other audience in order to make your money. It's a business. So it's a hard balance, because you need to get right in the middle to satisfy the gamers who know the property and also the other audience who's going to bring their money in to pay to basically get your money back from making that movie.
Need for Speed did pretty well. I just realized that. The movie Need for Speed did very well.
But how many of these movies... I'm sure a lot of them did decent at the box office. So far as I know, no video game movie adaptation has gotten like high praise from critics. That's not worth everything.
I feel like because there are going to be... What is it? Like, you're going to hear a video game movie and be snooty about it to begin with. But, or the same way they are with sci-fi.
I mean, there's just so much story that's already told in a game kind of difficult.
Look, think about the best top, like some of the top games that already, they have enjoyable storylines that could be turned into great movies. Mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto, Halo, God of War, pretty much any of the horror games. Well, all right, light horror. Silent Hill
actually did pretty well. The Last of Us is a movie that I love.
I liked Silent Hill, but that's the thing too. Other than, I think, Mortal Kombat.
And I never played Silent Hill until after the movie.
In general, I don't hear a lot of... And maybe some movies from the Resident Evil franchise. I don't hear a lot of video game movie adaptations being talked about. Like, even, like, cult movie status, where people say, oh, I really, you know...
Silent Hill would be the one.
But see, I don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah, because we hang out with, like, different people. And the thing is, whenever it's a cult movie status, the point is that it's not quite popular. So, that was a bit of a bad example. I'm not going to, like, mash you on it. Because...
But I'm talking, like, other movies like Bill and Ted franchise.
Silent Hill is...
Movies like even Tron, you know...
This is why...
Online, I've heard a lot of people talking and saying, hey, we want another movie, this and that. I know it's never going to get made, but see, I'm talking about video game movies. I don't hear that conversation.
Oh, here's the thing. Silent Hill is appreciated more by the horror film buffs, and that, like, you know, it's not like, oh, everybody needs to enjoy this movie, but they appreciate it. And they usually aren't the biggest fans of, like, it needs a remake. They're kind of anti-remake. So even when a remake has decent parts, they'll bash it. Silent Hill fans of the original movie did not like. And these fans didn't have a huge crossover between video game people and the watchers of the actual film. So that is the one... Now, admittedly, that might be the exception that proves the rule, but I can't think of other examples because I'm a sweaty drunk right now.
Make a sweaty drunk movie.
So, here's another question. I mean... Because I know I've been waiting for a Halo movie. I know that would make a good one.
You know what? I'm going to go to every Call of Duty movie where it's a war game. I count any movie as it. Boom. There was a translation. It all depends on the property.
Well, they are going to make a Call of Duty multi-film franchise kind of thing. I don't know the details yet. That's
interesting. Tom Clancy's books have been turned into more video games than they have been films or shows.
That is true. Well, they're coming out with a new... what's the dude's name? The main character from the Tom Clancy movie?
No idea.
Jack Ryan.
Oh, new TV show. Really? Now that makes sense, yeah.
But,
I don't even know about Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy?
Yeah.
The books are really good.
Uh-huh.
They're not good movies. They're very technical movies. People can appreciate them for that. And the thing is...
The books are very technical. Watch Hunt for Red October. What was the first one with Harrison Ford in it?
So he makes books, movies, and...
The one with the president?
He wrote the books. Yeah. They made it to movie
adaptations. Anytime it's like super patriotic and, you know, like this new American technology, so somehow they need the perfect soldier to use it against brown people.
If you like...
Save white folk.
If you like military like thrillers and
I love military thrillers. Tom Clancy... No, all right, I'm going to throw it in as a personal preference. Now, I can see technically, the man's brilliant. And that he's interpreted a lot of things as they should be, but he's also done stupid things. It's like, what is it? He got something about like the calibers on a plane. He's like, a caliber for a gun. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, the way, then somebody had explained. Yeah, that threw me right out of it because what he would have been shooting would have been have to be mounted to like an airplane. Like that's what the planes in World War II used to fire out. They're the size of your arm.
Oh.
Stuff like that. I'm sorry, I'm just rant, a little rant of like
little rant about how much you hate Tom Clancy.
Most of Tom Clancy's writing.
So the two things he rotates used, most is IHOP and Tom Clancy.
He used like, what is it, like, you know, he had rooms full of monkeys typing on keyboards, is what I'm saying, man. He would write out like a brief premise, basically the back page of a book of like, this character does this, this, and these key plot points. Then he would throw them to some like apprentice writers and they would For the books. And I'm pretty sure for the games.
The games are developed by different people. I would assume that from the games. But I never heard of the movie.
Yes, look it up. I'll show it to you in a bit because that's what I'm doing.
All right,
but so, okay, your point though.
Well, let me shoot this back to Joseph.
Okay.
What video game movies have you seen?
Video game movies that I've seen?
Yes. And you're more, we can say, a professional gamer than
gamer.
Us.
Gamer.
Angry Birds was successful. Rampage has been successful.
What does successful mean?
Money. Because you're saying it was business. Money.
It's all about money.
It's all about the money. Dang, man. Some of these made some pretty solid bank. Prince of Persia did a lot better than I thought. Pokemon, the first movie, that makes sense.
Pokemon makes sense.
Mortal Kombat is high up there. Oh, wait. Lara Croft, the Tomb Raider, that one actually was the... original one.
Yeah. The original one made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I heard that it wasn't good.
One, yeah, still. That's the point. What are we talking about? The measurements of success. Good. Gilbert says it's like critical acclaim. Our budget.
No, I say it has to mix of both. It has to be a mix of both.
Also, there's also the opinion that it's like personal preference.
There's a lot of movies that I love that are really well made, but they didn't make money. I'm saying there has to be... There's more factors.
Assassin's Creed, in my opinion, while... It did actually make a pretty solid amount, but not a huge amount. Was also a decent film. Not decent. It was good. The part at the end made me kind of want to cry. I watched it again. I cried.
I mean, there's only certain games that are available to make a good movie. You know, like there's some games just like The Last of Us or even the new God of War.
Give me a movie and I could find a great.
What if I just put together all the cutscenes and I'll just make that as a movie?
I'm sure people have done that.
They do. And it's a movie.
Give me a Wing Commander is what it was called. That I thought was pretty good. And that one barely made more than House of the Dead. That's funny.
House of the Dead.
All right, give me a movie that. Give me a movie, Joseph, if you would, that you think could not be made into a movie. And I could spin you a beautiful plot to it.
Tetris.
Double Dragon. Oh my god.
A Tetris movie has been in development for quite a while.
Really?
Boom, because people found that like it's alien invaders destroying our world. It's freaking fantastic. Pixels was like that was the best scene of the whole movie. Tetris coming down. Tetris couldn't be beat. Apologize. Okay, so what was your encapsulating
I was
going to
say that
The
other factor I think with video game movies is how well it adapts the video game. One thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, because if they just go use the name and some key elements and then go a totally different route, but then it's successful, could you? It's an adaptation in the very loose sense. I just had to throw in here. I said Dungeon Siege in the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale.
What about the World of Warcraft?
That was a movie bowl, right? It was like, man, it's like, and he made, and House of the Dead was pretty solid, in my opinion.
The World of Warcraft movie? How did it do? I forgot.
It actually did fairly high on this rating table.
It barely made its money back. That's what I heard.
And two, I think they just made it too late. On the other hand, I guess because of the CGI and the look, they had to cut things back, but it could have been made earlier. To like really get on, World of Warcraft has already been dying out for a few years, and I feel so bad watching special features. And other people brought up like that people put time and effort and love,
and they had a great director behind that.
It was like pretty decent film. Like it was decent. I'm not gonna say it was amazing. I like looking at some of the CGI because they sort of avoided the uncanny. They made all the humans look human to avoid Uncanny Valley, which was very smart in my opinion. But I know they would have divulged, they went far enough away from the source material that I could see that it fit into your point. They over-adapted it. They took away key elements. Unfortunately, like they had playroom, and instead of playing there, they took away the key elements. One of the main things being the orcs and their origin story, which was a huge, which if they were a side character, might not have been as big a deal, but it was like a driving point in the movie, and it's like, that's like not something you should have played with. Like if they did want to play with that, they should have moved that character, made him a smaller role, in my opinion, because it made it too far of an adaptation, my thoughts.
That makes sense. I heard also one of the major criticisms of that movie was kind of like it over-explained things. It had like too much like just throwing down plot within the dialogue.
Mm. Well, I can see there was definitely parts where they were explaining their motivation instead of showing things. I could see that.
Here's something that I was thinking about while you were talking about that. You know, in most video games,
mm-hmm.
you're taking over a character's actions.
Yes.
You're the character, so therefore you're seeing everything from that character's point of view. Mm-hmm. In most movies, too, you kind of need, especially in fantasy or sci-fi movies, you need a character who doesn't know a lot about the world, and they're being the surrogate for the audience.
That's basically the tutorial mode at the beginning of every game.
Yeah. Yep. So these video games that I'm thinking about, at least from the ones that I've seen, I don't remember there being like a clear surrogate character that the audience could, you know, see the world in. I think that's a big, that is a very important part in telling any kind of story.
You're saying in the video game movies?
Yeah.
Adaptations?
Is it harder because you're trying, since you have a movie that you're basing it on characters that are already fleshed out, that you can't really introduce like just a new random character that says, okay, this is the point of view for the audience, or is it harder?
No, I have to disagree. I think they did put them in all those movies. Maybe they didn't stick them as hard as you'd like, but in Tomb Raider, mm-hmm. the movie, they had her just discovering all this stuff about her father, and I think that was the same thing in the new one, too. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't know about this world. In Mortal Kombat, there was, like, in it is the same plot as the movie, that, like, they have to have Raiden, this higher being, explain to them how the world works. The same thing in, what is it, but yeah, most games, they basically do have that, I think. Can you name an example where you were going with?
Well, here's the thing with Tomb Raiders, because one of the things I heard, you know, it's like, of course, it's like an origin story. You're seeing how Lara Croft becomes the Tomb Raider. However, in the games, she already has a set of skills and already has a set of knowledge that makes her Tomb Raider. So, you know, it's kind of like in Batman Begins, where it's like you're Bruce Wayne building up to Batman. Most audience would want to see the Batman fully formed or Tomb Raider fully formed. Do you think that's a detriment? Because a movie has to kind of set up the stuff in order to get to the point where it's fully the character.
I haven't seen the newest one, but in the original one, it had her having those skills and the knowledge. She knew about the ancient cultures. She had a whole big plot point, and just like show off how sexy Angelina Jolie was that she had a random training room that she later used in a pretty awesome coordinated string fight where she was like balancing, like a rope was attached to her, and she was going up and down, murdering people. So I disagree. There. That doesn't mean that I'm right, but I'm disagreeing with that. I can't see that point being made there. Don't look at my belly.
I think it's just difficult.
Joseph, since you play more video games,
uh-huh.
how do you see the information that you need in order to understand how the world of the video game works? How is it? I know it's dished out to the player mm-hmm. very differently, or it seems to me, than how it is in a movie. Like certain backstories, certain, you know, plot points that you need to know.
We've over-dominated this conversation, so to your point. And also, do you have a video game movie that you enjoyed?
A video game movie that I enjoy? I mean, of course, there's just like the originals, just like Mortal Kombat and stuff like that, where, I mean, it was enjoyable. It was fun, like how you said. They're just fun movies, but.
Did you ever play Final Fantasy?
Yes.
Did you see any of the Final Fantasy
I haven't seen
movies?
Any of the movies. I've seen the.
Both fairly solid. Honestly, The Spirits Within, very good.
They look good.
Yeah, that one even hold up very well.
I've just seen Cloud, and he looks amazing.
Joe, can I ask you, then, since you are a big gamer, and there are a lot of movies out there based on video games I'm sure that you played or had some interest in.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you say you haven't seen a lot of them. Why is that? Is it that more that you prefer the storytelling in video games versus movies? Or is it something else?
There wasn't a lot of games that I've played that have been adapted to movies.
Okay.
So, I mean, or at least not, like, big, you know.
Which ones?
theatrical movies. But I mean, that's, I would like to see and see if they work. I mean, I know it's expensive and stuff, but I mean, some games just like The Last of Us, where it's like the storytelling in the game is so good, and I let you play the very first, the intro to it, and you saw how much it connected to the player. It is very cinematic. Very.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say they were to make a Last of Us movie.
Uh huh.
How would you like to see the adaptation done? Would you like to see the same exact story and plot that's already in the video game, just readapted into the movie? So there's really no surprises, but it's still well done. Or would you like to see a surprising movie that has some twists and turns that takes, that goes a different route than the video game, but it's very much based on the characters and situations in the video game, so that way you're surprised when you go to see the movie?
What if it's just the world that they live in?
Yeah, that's what I think would be the best way to adapt.
Because, I mean, to be... like, for instance, The Walking Dead, how they had that spinoff with the Fear of the Walking Dead. We're just completely different people, but it's the same exact
world. But do you feel that would alienate a lot of the video game players?
I think it would have originally... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Originally, back in our day, it would have. But with the new age of, like, DLC, downloadable content, people are ready to see alternate takes on their, you know, games. They're, like, different playable characters and... like, what is it? There's Ratchet and Clank, where Clank got his own spinoff. There's different parts of pretty much a lot of Batman. Most of their downloadable content is playable parts through other characters. So while our generation might have grown up with, it has to be this character, he's the main character, while that's still, there's still main characters in newer games, downloadable content where there's like alternate levels tends to be the same game played through different characters' perspective. So I think the newer generation would be fine with that. What do you think?
I mean... I guess the biggest thing that I see is, especially with games, is that how much you can absolutely sense the amount of love that went into the game whenever, like for instance, God of War, you can just, you can hear in the director's voice how much he cares about it.
Feel the love tonight. And then, let's not forget the creator, but like, Mario.
Maybe just, I guess for a lot of movies, it doesn't really feel that way. It kind of feels like they're milking it, maybe.
I agree. I see what your point, yeah.
Here's the thing. Is that I'm sure 80% of the time, the team that you get making the movie is not the team that made the video game.
Yeah.
Because it's two different set of skills, which is understandable.
Or is it?
So
there's been
There has been times where they do bring people on from the video game, or, you know, from an adaptation, like a novel, to write the scripts or whatever. So they can have their influence on it. But the majority of the time, something, you know, some of the video games, like, you know, the Hitman, Tomb Raider, the people who made the movie aren't the same people who made the video game. So inherently, I think they're going to have a different end that they're trying to reach with the movie.
But I mean, the actor for the new Tomb Raider, she talked about like how she wanted to be Lara Croft and how she actually played it.
She lied.
Do you feel that way?
But how much influence does she really have as an actor?
Playing on it.
It's only so much. She can't really say, I don't like where the story's going. What about this?
Because she's not a big actor. If it was like, Angelina Jolie would have had that input.
But she would have been able to say, I have these ideas of where to take the character, but now really where to take the story. The studio
Tom Cruise could do it. Cast Tom Cruise as Link. You're going to get, and if he's a lover of like Zelda, you know, then you're going to get the Link movie. It's not going to even say Zelda. It'll say Link. Link.
Would you like to see a Legend of Zelda movie with Tom Cruise?
I mean, anything more of Zelda, I would
love.
And
I want to see Vin Diesel as the bad guy. Was it Ganon?
Ganon.
You do too. You want to see him all tan with a red beard, giant cooked nose, fighting Tom Cruise, spinning around with his sword and tunic, flapping through the air.
So who would play Zelda?
I don't care. She doesn't matter. She's not in the movie. That's like, okay, guys, CGI. Who's going to play Princess Peach? You know, that character you never meet.
Dude, what's her name? Cate Blanchett, man. Cate Blanchett.
Oh, damn.
Every single day.
I'd play a video game of Zelda from the movie adaptation where Cate Blanchett played her. That's how much I like Cate Blanchett. Quick thought, though. I have an idea. I think I finally figured out the recipe to making the perfect,
the best adaptation.
Let's hear it.
Video game movie. Okay. So, all right. Let's just use your example. I'm gonna make your movie.
Which one?
Your video game into the best movie version it could be.
Zelda?
No. The Last of Us. Okay. Although we could do Zelda too. We could do both of them because the formula that I have created is ideal, replicatable.
Let's hear it.
Yet non copyrightable because it is so organic and rich that in fact its brilliance comes from its simplicity that could be applied through Eternium.
Let's hear it.
So, okay, I go up to you, these game devs, these game developers. Like, this is the plot. You know, we come up with a script for the video game that we were going to make, right? Mm-hmm. All right, this is the next level. This is the DLC. This is whatever we're going to create next. I'm like, good. Okay, now, what are our limitations? What kind of things do we have? Like, these are the scenes. This is what we're going to have to do. And it has slightly been done already. Let me just cut back and say, this has been touched upon. And hinted at.
So you're saying you're going to get the game developers to write the script?
No, they're not. The Rager, they're making the video game. Okay. First, this is how we're going through the process. Okay, sit back with me, because most video game movies, first the video game is made only thinking about what the video game is going to be like, not thinking what any external properties are unless they're directly related to that video game, right? You're thinking of, how do we make this the best game possible? And that's where the love comes that Joseph was talking about. Of like, this is something I'm going to put my time and sweat into, right? And then later, they try and fit in some extra stuff, and hopefully it's pretty good. Like, you know, the amiibos, downloadable content for it. And then whenever all of that does well, it is then made into, the rights are sold to be produced. And it's usually just the rights of the property. Of like, you know, Last of Us and them, and they can turn it into whatever they want. Yes. And then they sort of argue of, what are we going to turn it into? How do we make a movie audience watch it? And how do we get the people who played it to watch this? So you're constantly fighting. That's the thing, too. You are fighting to get the people who played the game to watch the movie. And at the very same time, fighting to get people who haven't played the game to watch it as well.
Yes.
And this is normally poses the conundrum. My plot. So we tell them, this is, all right, so you're making the game like you would normally do, right? And it's entirely cutscenes. Oh my God. Brilliant. Boom.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, because it's so simple and organic. Yeah. Yes, I'm telling you, that's what you do.
I was going to say, how about the people that make the cutscenes? Why don't they make
the
movie?
It's the same thing, man. It really is. You're literally just cutting out some of the people.
I mean, the animated. Animated things are always. I feel like
Avatar
Dragon
is
Ball.
An animated thing.
Like Dragon Ball Z.
Titanic.
Like Evolution was terrible.
Citizen Kane. All of it was. So yeah, okay.
Perfect. However, aren't there like certain plot points or like information that are within the gameplay that advances a story that you would need that would then be omitted if you just add the cutscenes together to make a movie?
No, that's not what you're doing. You're not just adding. You're just not.
It's a specific case. So you're saying this wouldn't work like an adaptation of anything
else
that's
out there? Chill out. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, it is complicated. It's not complicated.
I've been all day.
Because, no, here's the thing. They're not just taking the cutscenes and adding them together. There's this new phenomenon in a lot of the movies and a lot of the games. And honestly, it was a bit of a complaint that a lot of gamers had. In the original God of War series, there were plenty of scenes where they were like, they called them mini games, but really it was a cutscene that you basically mashed buttons to win. Mm-hmm. Now, that wouldn't be as big of a deal, except you couldn't die during them. Like, I would be being attacked by a giant viper, and I couldn't figure out how I'm going to, like, get past it. So I just kept mashing this button, and I wouldn't mash it fast enough. And basically, it was just, get me through the cutscene, get me through the cutscene. So it really was more of a cutscene than a game part.
I mean, there's cutscenes where you would make love to a woman, and you had to repeatedly press a button.
But the thing is, you're just pressing a button. It's pretending that it's interactive.
It's the simplest gameplay ever.
Exactly. Now, there are some games where it was a detective game, something noir, and LA Noir. How did I lose two freaking letters from that? And it's like, it's a whole new thing, and it sounds a little pretty cheesy, and I think it was used but LA Noir did it right. This technique of just sort of pressing, basically you're watching a scene and you press play to progress. It's like if you were watching a regular movie at home, and at the end of a scene it gave you the option, like, if they said, are you still watching? And you pressed, yes, I am. You know, like a Netflix, how it asks. That's sort of what a lot of games have progressed to in some parts, because you just want to hear the story. At most, it might give you alternative options on what you want to see. But I think basically the idea is that there's the script writers for the video game have the passion for it. the creators of the game have the skill for it, and you're really just cutting out, you're basically cutting the team in half, and they're taking out an interactive element from the whole game. So it's not simply composed of cutscenes, it is entirely a cutscene from their perspective, but in truth, they have created a film. Your thoughts?
Thoughts. It might work.
If you make, see, well, movies generally are an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe 3 hours long. If you were to make a video game out of the same amount of cutscenes, would that be a shorter video game? Or would those like kind of time constraints be an issue for the gameplay? Because I know most gamers like 40, 50, whatever, 100 hours of gameplay for a video game.
Uh-huh.
Would that be limiting to both the video game people and the filmmakers?
It would not, because they're the same people. The downloadable content is usually much shorter. We played recently a game called Layers of Fear, which, how long would you say, is about 3-4 hours of gameplay?
Yeah, solid, I think so.
And that's because our friend Joseph here knew where everything was.
He had played through it already. Yeah.
Exactly. But there was a downloadable content, which was basically a part two, an extended universe type thing. What was that one called?
I don't remember.
Layers of Fear Deeper, I think, or something like that. That might just be me, Tracy Lords.
What is it?
but basically, that one was a little under
it was
a full hour.
Short.
It was
the
very
family
short.
Thing.
Yeah.
It was
a family thing.
And the thing is, no, so they're used to developing this kind of stuff. They're prepared to develop it afterwards. And it's like, it's really, they don't, the game people themselves who are actually programming and designing the sprites to make things look away, they don't decide how long it is. The script writers do.
Yes.
There's totally separate whenever you add in the gameplay. So I think it's very doable that the same, you could make the movie in-house, I believe, nowadays.
So you can
modern times.
Release two things at once?
You could. Well, basically, you could create the video game and then say, we're going to do a DLC. This DLC, here's the script for it. They don't have to have playable parts. Also, now it's a movie. That would be my thought. So it's an extension of the story. Could be from a different character's point of view. So it's not the exact same experience you had playing the game. But it has the depth and love because the people who made it created.
It's kind of like a Dragon Ball Z movie. Where it's like you watch Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
And then you watch the movie that has nothing to do with it. Yes. But it's also some more if you want to watch
it. And more, it really is like, what is it? Esque, because it is in world, you know? Mm-hmm. Although it doesn't necessarily have to influence anything. Sorry, I
never hit the mic. Are you saying,
it doesn't have to be, but it can be.
Are you saying this would be a theatrically released
DLC?
Film, or is it just like some other like downloadable?
Well, here's the thing, too.
Video?
I don't know, because now it's like theaters are trying to make a fight back, but the main thing right now is streamable. So. To have a large multi-million dollar release that would get people excited, you don't necessarily, you just want to present this extra film to sell extra merch and maybe DVDs later. The streaming services, Netflix especially, are ideal for this.
Are you wanting to make your money back with the combined income of the movie and the video game, or just like a video game sells?
Well, that all comes up to legal, because keep in mind too, it all depends, like Japan alone, would depend if the property is made in Japan, has specific rules. If it's made in America, shipped to Japan, different rules. If it's made in Europe, shipped to Japan, and it's all these variables. So ideally, you want to make your money. What is it? Now, here's the thing. With Netflix, that could all be worked out in advance. They could tell you, make the movie for this much, give you a budget. Part of your budget could come from the people investing in the studio. Netflix, I could see them coming up to that same studio, Bungie, let's say, and say, hey, we've got this many million dollars. Can you make a movie for this month? This amount of money, and I know Bungie with the whole blah, whatever, that's, I'm ignoring that right now. They say, can you make a movie for this amount? And they're like, can we use this, you know, some of the same stuff? Like, absolutely, use whatever, we're giving the money directly to you to use. Boom. It would be, it wouldn't really be made, they would be
can
more
I
the
ask
customer.
You something?
Ask it away.
Are there limitations on the video game hardware, software maybe? That would, you know, a certain thing would look good on a video game, but look not quite up to snuff as a movie?
That's actually interesting you said that, and I think Joseph already knows the answer. The thing is, the cutscenes almost always look better. Now, the reason being because a free-floating camera on a game character tends to catch, what is it, where things weren't edited quite together well or the physics don't work. The cutscenes are, without fail, usually the best animated thing.
And they're also, what, pre-rendered or something, right?
Exactly. because it's a fixed perspective, it's pre-rendered, whereas in a game, everything has to be rendered sort of on the fly, and that's why when there's explosions, sometimes you see things glitch out, there's too many things happening in a frame. So, yes, to answer your question, there's a difference, and the answer is it would be better.
There's another question. Quality graphics. Would there be a risk if... Okay, so would you say that they would be released around the same time, both the movie and the video game, and would there be a marketing, like... not gimmick, but a marketing plan in you know, planned out so that you're marketing both the movie and the game as compatible, you know, stories or whatever, so that to say, here's the movie of the video game, and here's the video game of the movie kind of thing. And second question, would, let's say, if you release a video game and that fails to sell or is not very popular, would that affect the sales or the watchability of the movie or vice versa?
I mean, I could see the movie or the video game, either or, being like a second part, or maybe like an add-on to a certain thing, you know, like, and you'd have to release one first and be like, if you want to learn more, if you want to go experience something else differently, you can go play this, or you can go, maybe we'll say that at the end of the movie or at the end of the game or something.
You have a tie-in. Well,
you could do that there's a tie-in, wait for part two, or like, no, the you know what the tie-in could be? To be continued, or the end, question mark. Keep that the cinematic, or, but here's the thing. I think the video game would be released first.
Okay.
In my opinion, and here's another thought. Whenever things are made in the computer, they then have to be ported to the different systems. So they tend to not always look as great because you have to start making the game sort of before you know exactly what you're working with. So it would look, I think, a lot better than most of the video games that same company would be putting out. As far as how is it marketed, that's entirely up to the marketing team, because they already do tie-ins with like alternate realities and video games into movies. And my thought is that they're not seen as being, what is it, sold. It's the same way as like Disney works. Like, there are tie-ins, but you're not saying, like, at the end of, what is it, Frozen, they don't put up a commercial saying, and don't forget to buy the toys. People know to buy the toys because you see it on the shelf.
Have you guys seen the virtual reality? Like, where they're kind of games, but you just stand there, or you just, like, look around and stuff like that?
Well, they're basically, like, we used to call those demos. And it's, I like, mean, imagine demo, that yeah. You could do stuff, but you can't. Just look around. Yeah, we've seen them.
Like, there's one that I saw.
For our audience members who haven't seen
it. It was that, the newest Blair Witch Project. Uh-huh. Which one is that one?
The movie tie-in.
It's just called Blair Witch.
Yeah, and there's, like, the VR kind of thing where you just put it on and you kind of look around and things are happening.
That could have been fun. That would have been pretty creepy.
I mean, it could be something like that. Maybe that would be cool.
And to be fair, too, I don't have. I like honestly, like I feel like I solved that problem. Boom. As far as marketing, because the world of movie absorption and even video game, you know, how people take them on has changed so much, and that you could do. Well, you could literally, you know, what is it like? Pick your mode. Somebody's watching Netflix, you know, and they see this cool movie. Oh, this has a lot of good ratings. I'll check it out. Oh man, this anime. Oh, it's like, or it's next to Avatar. Like, this is cool. I liked Avatar. Check it out. It's cool. Oh, this video game based on it. Cool. Maybe they play the game. Maybe they don't. But there's more likely that they'll play the game now. Somebody playing the game is like, you know, going along also on their computer or their system, whatever, and they still have Netflix or whatever streaming service. They go, all right, now I want to watch a movie. Didn't I just play that game? They almost certainly will watch the movie. You're pretty much guaranteeing that the gamers will watch the movie, and you're increasing the chances that a viewer will then play the game.
Yeah, because I think if the movie came out first, maybe people would be upset if the game came out second, because what if people that have watched the movie don't have that console,
depends
maybe?
Depends on the plot, because I feel like the movie that would be made would be from a series coming out. So if there was like a filler movie, like Breath of the Wild is the most recent Zelda property, am I correct?
Yes.
Any mini games in between? That continue the story, I should say.
There's DLC.
And that one land. Okay, the DLC. So basically, you got DLCs, and then you could have a movie with something in world that's really like maybe extending the universe of, like, you know, you said there was like some spirit guys that control giant beasts or something.
Yes.
That's like related in world, and it doesn't even need to say Zelda. It could just be this crazy with interesting looking characters, because a lot of them are anthropomorphic animals, right? Mm-hmm. And there's tons of games where they have interesting side characters. Boom, kids are going to watch it, parents will have to watch it, video game comes out, nobody's hurt.
And that's cool that you say that, because Breath of the Wild, it starts off where everything pretty much happened already, yes. And now you're going to solve the problem. But the problem happened before you start of the game, you know? So that would be cool because there are a lot of cutscenes that kind of say what happens. If you put them all together, it becomes a little movie.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Every World War II movie doesn't have to start out with, like, the murder, assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. We get the gist.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing, too.
A certain backstory that's taken for granted. Yeah. You know,
and, too, it's like a lot of times, like with most movies you watch, a lot of times the motivation started way in advance. And you might get a flashback to it. Like a guy starts off, you know, fighting some dude. And then you watch him, like, pull out all these cool moves. And it turns out that, like, their parents wanted them to grow up and never be a victim again because they were picked on as a kid. It's like, you know, it's the same plot point story.
Yeah.
They're both the same type of entertainment. You know, you're starting off of like, I'm a character who doesn't know anything about this world, and then, oh, I've been hit with a conflict. I need to resolve it, but most likely I'll fail at first, and then later somebody helps me along the way, and then I achieve the goal. Video games and movies.
Well, why do you think nobody's tried this before?
Because they're not me. I've got the fantasticness, and we're in an era too where the, like, you're right, back in
just growing up,
a part of it was technology, a big part of it was marketing. There was this huge Hollywood system that kept people out. The video game world was always sort of on the cusp too, and we're just sort of, I think, at the proper financial, technological, and cultural time that people would now accept this, because there was a video, people who were fans of film were almost never fans of video games, and that has now changed. Most people who've watched a movie at least own one system, or for sure owned it growing up. And, you know, then there's always the whole gaming on, was it phone? Jeez. The Candy Crush, the movie, Emoji Movie, yes. Stuff like that, Angry Birds. So, yes, the
Angry Birds wasn't that bad.
My point, right. The main thing, too, is just that, like, people wouldn't have accepted it back in the day, even if it could have been done well. It would have not done well financially. And so you were always going to either do well, what is it, with the audience, with the critics, and with the box office, but never all three. And I think only right now is the proper mix of culture, economy, and technology, the trifecta. And I believe now this is possible. Also, I have, by speaking this, entered it into the zeitgeist of mankind, thus blessing it with this brilliant thought.
Well, I do think that you found the formula for.
Thank
it.
Thank you. I've appreciated.
I think that for that to be doable, I think I would think, though, that the video game production company would have to make a lot of changes, though, in order to facilitate that. Because I would still think that there would be a lot of technical stuff from a movie perspective that would need to be brought into the video game. You know, studio. Like, there would have to be,
like, what,
some kind of some of the technical stuff, and I think I think you would need to put a little bit more money into it, and, you know, be more of a risk financially. I mean, I would love to see somebody try that.
I disagree. And I feel like the technology is there, the skills are set up because of, and I wouldn't, like, is like, I'm using the example of the modern video games that have, like, cutscenes that are pretty much a movie, where you're like, it's just like you're really getting caught up. And Final Fantasy, story-wise alone, is known for having monstrous cutscenes that can be horrible and kind of a pain to go through. But it shows that the game companies want to show you this information in a way that you aren't taking in like a normal video game. And from what I've heard, it's like mostly they start complaining about it on the second playthrough, not necessarily on the first go around. So I truly feel that everything is already set in place. And as far as putting more money into it, I disagree. I feel like the whole beating things down with budget, the tent poles and stuff, is sort of, this could be the cure to that, because they already tend to have lower budgets and produce, in my opinion, great cinematic themes and productions. And it would also, they already got their tentpole. Enough people are fans of it that it could hold up enough mild base, and all the regular movie viewers who, you know, either are trying something new or they think it's something for their kids or a younger audience would fill up the tent after that. I truly believe it is set and ready to go.
Well, I mean,
could be done today.
In Breath of the Wild, there's a huge part, actually. Most of the game is you collect memories. As Link, you collect these memories of, and basically you go to these places and you look in a certain place, and you have to, like, you have these pictures of that you took back then, like whenever before, that you forgot, and you have to go to these exact places and try to remember what happened. And as soon as he remembers, it does this cutscene, and you see like what happened during that part of before, you know. And it's super like,
and that's very common.
Immersive. It actually is really immersive. Games
where you pick up an item and there's a flashback scene that you then play through, but it's very common and people are comfortable with it. I feel.
Well,
so yeah, I think really, unless you can think of a specific technical thing that has to be worked out, a thing, because not even the studio system holds the reins as tight as they did.
I think that there would, you would have to replicate some of the actual gameplay, some of the plot points that you advance the story in the gameplay as part of the movie. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it would be easy as just getting the cutscenes and putting them together as a movie. Let's say a Zelda game, Breath of the Wild. I saw you playing the last portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
In the actual beating of the villain,
mm-hmm.
That was gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't cutscenes. So you would have to replicate that gameplay as a cutscene in order for the movie to make sense.
I don't think so. Because
that would be missing the actual battle against the
It wouldn't
the
be villain. Missing the battle. You would just be like not interacting with it. Because, like
but
I said...
Are you saying just ripping gameplay then?
No, you're not ripping gameplay. You're literally like... Because the thing is like you're just... It's how you're absorbing the... What is it? The entertainment. It's always going to be... You're always going to have the same final cutscene. And like there might be alternates on how you beat them. But basically you're just sort of moving some of those options. And what I'm saying is there are multiple games... a big example would be Shadow of the Colossus.
Uh-huh.
Super, ooh. Yeah, that one had a lot of awards, and there was almost no plot to it. It was really just straight up sort of quote-unquote action.
Yes.
But what it was just like you're just sort of hitting this character and taking it down, and
but
it sounds simple.
But that's what I'm saying. That's gameplay. No. You battling against the monster.
It's the same thing as Lord of the Rings. You didn't lose anything whenever like you're watching them have this action scene. I'm not thinking like, oh, I need to feel a controller. If anything,
no,
there's times where I'm watching
saying.
A movie and I feel like I could be playing this because the action is so intense.
But that's what I'm saying. The actual battle against the monster, that's not cutscene.
It's not.
That's gameplay.
Yeah.
So you have to make that segment a scene in the movie.
Yes. Yeah, and it would be fine. People would be excited to watch it. Like, I didn't have to
yes,
be playing.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Clash of the Titans, perfect example.
You would have to... It's not... Basically, you would be making the movie and then cutting out the scenes that would be actual gameplay, and those scenes wouldn't be in the game. That would be just saying, okay, for this 20 minutes or whatever of the movie, of this battle, that's going to be gameplay. So you would have to... Does that make any sense?
I see what you're saying. I'm just disagreeing with it because...
But how would you do that? That doesn't make any sense to
because
me.
Because you'd play the plot of a video game is the exact same as the plot of a movie. That's what I was saying. And the only thing is it's stretched out. Like, the montage is a level. Like, whenever you're learning the skills... Okay, any move... Like, okay, like... All right, I'm going to use Lord of the Rings again as an example.
Okay, yeah.
Right? You start off as... You got the cutscene mode... Oh, sorry. Cutscene in the... The first Lord of the Rings movie, not The Hobbit, is, you know, whenever you're establishing who this
Fellowship.
Character... Fellowship, right? Well, I mean, no, not just the first movie,
yes.
But the very first scene where you're in the... What is it? Where all the Hobbits live?
Hobbiton. Yes.
How could I have forgotten that?
Yes.
You're in Hobbiton, and it's just this little cutscene where you're talking about all this little, you know, oh, everybody's getting to know their name, and you're sort of getting their character development. Mini play scene would be like whenever they're lighting the fireworks and everybody's running away from them. Then you cut back to the, what is it, cutscene, and it would be, oh, you know, you guys are bad hobbits. And then the next little bit is like...
You're talking about the game, right?
I'm talking about the movie. I'm just saying you could direct translate all of it. It's the plots are, what is it, the same. It's just, all you're talking about is extending different things. It's like it's exactly transferable. The fighting the monster at the end, every game fights
yeah,
the monster.
Well, I mean,
the
there's
end.
An example for
every
instance, like the new God of War.
Yes.
It's not really a spoiler, but just in case no one wants to hear about God of War.
Spoiler warning.
At the end, the final battle, it actually ends with a cutscene.
Boom.
Okay.
And it's really an amazing cutscene because it sets up for another game.
Okay.
And you get the gist. And like, you really, the last battle ends with the cutscene. Like, you actually see it ending.
See, but that,
we didn't
but that,
grow up with that.
But that's
they
what,
do it now.
That's what I'm asking. It's like, from what I've gotten, and I may be misinterpreting what you're saying. That's why I just want to make it clear. Yeah. So you're saying, what you do is you have the video game, and as a video game goes, there's a cutscene, then there's gameplay, another cutscene, gameplay, cutscene to move the plot along, gameplay, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying just... making those cutscenes high quality and then stitching those cutscenes together in order to make a movie?
No.
But he's also saying adding the gameplay, but making them the gameplay into cutscenes somehow. In
the
movie.
The whole thing is, like, there's no, like, gameplay. You're basically, yeah, like, the thing I started off with, okay, just to cut back to, I realized that arcade games, whenever you beat a main villain, ended in a cutscene. You dealt that quote-unquote last blow, and then the character hit him a few more times, they fell down, and they gave you more information to move to the next boss. No, I'm saying, like, yeah,
there's no... So the actual gameplay in the game, you're just gonna have higher quality, you know, up to the cutscene quality.
Vaguely.
Gameplay in the movie?
No.
He's okay. Gonna make it into
you make
a
movie
scene.
Script, right? Okay, yes. You get a regular movie script.
Yes.
And we had the same people who was writing the video game, yes, write the game, yes, the script. Now, whenever they write the script, they don't necessarily write, okay, these are your options for going here or there. They
I understand
write
that.
A
yes.
Thematic script. And then they take it to the people who make the game and they decide, this will be a cutscene. This will be where we have a different action scene. And then the people, they, you know, begin animating it. Okay, so the animators, they just won't do the extra step. You're literally just cutting out the step of this part. We're going to make extend it and make it into a game. So in Lord of the Rings, whenever they're, you know, running away from all the fireworks, instead, yes, of saying, okay, guys, we're going to have, you know, the options. This type of firework does this damage. This type of firework does a different amount. If you fall into this, so, it'll do damage. You just have the scene that you saw.
So you're saying in the movie version, you'd say,
movie version,
okay, this scene, this is where the gameplay is going to take place. So then that would be rendered as gameplay for the game, right?
No. You make a regular video game.
Yes.
And then, what is it? Whenever you're getting ready for downloadable content, it's like, these are different stories, right? You literally just hand them the script and say, animate this. And then they're like, okay, where's the gameplay going to be? There's fucking not going to be. Throw it to a streamer or somebody who's going to make it. End of story. You see, the complexity comes from the simplicity.
So you guess Joseph gets it. You get the script. You give it to basically two different people, right? The animators. You say, just animate it. We're going to cut out whatever we need for the game.
That's what I'm asking.
No, not directly. Mine was like,
there's a little confusion.
Okay, so Breath of the Wild has been made, right? Yes. What company made it? Them.
Nintendo, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, say Nintendo, okay? So, and Nintendo has gotten into a lot of things before. They go, okay, we want some DLC. There's alternate stories. We want to tell the story of this character. We want to tell the story of this character. So write
Wait,
the scripts
so you're
for
saying
them.
The only gameplay is downloadable?
No. Okay, I got it. He's saying that you're going to make the game.
Yes.
The add-on stories,
yes,
for the game, they're gonna give that script. They're going to be like, it's basically going to be like the DLC for it.
Part two.
What I played.
Yes.
You know, as add-ons for Breath of the Wild, I'm going to give it to the animators.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just going to animate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But there's still the game.
Yeah,
but the add-on separate. Is the movie.
Exactly. And you know what's sad? I came up with the perfect analogy that I was using later. Literally, The Hobbit, the movie.
Okay.
Would have been like, they said, okay, so let's say Lord of the Rings was the game, right? And then I say, okay, guys, we need to explain some more stuff in here. What about that character, that old dude who, you know, gave that kid, who was like, shh, and he gave him the ring. What was his backstory? Did he know people too? And they're like, yeah, let's turn that into a game. And they'd be like, the game didn't really do that well. You know, let's make it into a movie. Okay, we'll just turn off the gameplay, and you know, people will just see what would have transpired as a, enjoyable little thing of them running along the water and bouncing off of barrels. It's like, but you
so
just want
that's
play.
What I'm asking.
Yeah.
So let's say the Hobbit movie, the scene when they're in the under the hill, under the mountains,
yeah,
with the goblins.
Yeah, that would have been.
That's what I'm asking.
Movie. Yeah.
So like, there's the movie version where it plays out and we follow the characters as they do whatever,
yeah,
right?
It would be that.
And then there would be the game version where you're controlling the characters and making them move whatever to get through that.
Except that, yeah. Basically, but not really. It really
what do you
is
mean
just,
not really?
It's because you're making it the same fucking thing. It's I'm saying they're separate. I'm saying
so
Lord of the Rings.
So the movie's going to be
the Fellowship,
a completely different story?
It would be, the game itself would be, we were making the game called The Hobbit. And it's,
yes,
like, and we got a level where you're jumping, you're going through a river, you're jumping through barrels. There's a level where you fight a giant dragon, and it's like, and you press these controllers to do this much damage. And say, we don't want to do that anymore. Just turn it into a flat movie. It's like, we already got them animated, and like, then just like, don't, just set it. You're good.
But he's saying,
is
you're
the plot of
the
movie and the plot of the game the same plot? That's what I'm asking. Or is it like the movie's like a completely different movie, but it fills in the gaps of the story
that
the game
is? It's funny
that
we're arguing about this, because ultimately you could still do any of what we're saying.
But that's, I'm just trying to understand what the, like,
The premise is just the one company makes the game. That's it. They make the company that made the game makes the freaking movie.
I feel like there could have been a lot.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out how they would, and I'm still
because
where I am at the beginning.
I think it's because you're so far away from movies that it can be, or you're so far away from games that it seems like it should be more complicated than it ultimately would be. Okay, like the best example would be, you remember in a lot of the older games where if you didn't press play after a while, you would see animations of the game playing itself? Mm-hmm. It would be that. Except in better quality.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it would basically be the game playing itself is now the movie.
That's what I...
And it's just the winningest version of the game you're watching.
That's what I was assuming. That's what I was trying to make
clear. That's not what you were making clear. It might have been assuming, but it was not said. You're a Nazi, sir. A Nazi. You did not say that.
I think we could end it on Nazi.
The show always ends when one of us calls the other a fascist. Next week, I'll be Stalin.
Thanks for
you're just stalling,
in.
Rhodes. You're just stalling because you don't want to admit that I'm right.
You're That'll Rhodes.
Be you.
You're
exactly. Rhodes. That was the point. That's why next week, I'll be Stalin. You fucking moron. I'm Stalin. You're Hitler. My God.
Bye, guys.